From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, 3 full hours of those open lines, and it's also Fright Night open lines tonight with a special number just for you to scare the daylights out of all of us. Some of the news of the day, well, they're at it again. U.S. gasoline prices shot above $3 a gallon on Friday. It's already way over that here in the Los Angeles area and maybe where you live. It's within striking distance of record highs as the creaking domestic refinery system, they say, strained to keep up with rising demand. Average retail gasoline prices in the world's top consumer area, that's us, reached $3.01 a gallon. According to the AAA, like I said, here in Los Angeles, it's way over that. They say companies struggling to retool refineries to meet new environmental standards have faced longer, more extensive maintenance and serious outages, draining gasoline inventories ahead of peak summer demand. I think they're just gouging us. Federal officials placed a hold on 20 million chickens raised for market in several states because their feed was mixed with pet food containing an industrial chemical. 3 government agencies, the Agriculture Department, the FDA, and the Environmental Protection Agency, are overseeing a risk assessment to determine whether the chickens would pose a threat to human health if eaten. The 20 million chickens represent a tiny fraction of the 9 billion chickens raised each year here in the United States. Meat from the birds can't go to commercial use now without the USDA's inspection seal, which is being withheld until the risk assessment is complete. Which states have chicken producers affected by the hold? They will not disclose at this time. In Los Angeles, a judge sentenced Paris Hilton to 45 days in county jail for violating her probation, putting the brakes on the hotel heiress's high lifestyle. Hilton, who parlayed her name and relentless partying into worldwide notoriety, must go to jail on June 5th, and she will not be allowed any work release, furloughs, use of an alternative jail, or electronic monitoring in lieu of jail. The judge ruled that she was in violation of the terms of her probation in an alcohol-related reckless driving case. A company called Alliant Tech Systems says it will not know for several more days whether any of the solid rocket booster motors it produced for the space shuttle program were damaged when a train derailed Wednesday in Alabama. 7 of the 8 booster motor segments shipping from Utah to Florida were on rail cars that remained on the track, but one segment was aboard a train that derailed due to a bridge collapse. Richard C. Hoagland's also checking into a story about the shuttle, and I've asked Richard to keep the weekend intact for him to put together some more information for a possible Monday update on what he's working on. It is a huge story. State police in Massachusetts have found the body of a missing Cape Cod man, misplaced by the state medical examiner's office. The body had been inadvertently switched with the corpse of another deceased person that had been released to a funeral home and buried. In Johannesburg, South Africa, a gang of armed robbers forced a man to strip naked and then glued him to his exercise bicycle and sealed his lips with more glue while they ransacked his house. The 50-year-old man was left stuck to the bike with super strong glue for 3 hours until he was rescued by his girlfriend. How many not-eating people live on Earth? Some say a few thousand. It is a fact that the majority of Breatharians are a highly spiritual, developed people who are not interested in fame and publicity. A lot of them are barely recognizable because you can invite them for a dinner to a pub, and they can participate in parties, and then they eat sometimes in order to avoid sensation or maybe detection. However, they need neither food nor liquids to keep the body in perfect condition. These are incredible people, and in a moment we will talk with one of them, Wiley Brooks, on Coast to Coast AM. Wiley Brooks has been a Breatharian for some 30 years and has been giving seminars and teaching his learned philosophy for more than 20 of those years. A Breatharian is a person, as I mentioned, who can, under proper conditions, live with or without eating physical food. Wiley was first introduced to the world back in 1981 when he appeared on the national television show That's Incredible, demonstrating his strength by lifting 1,100 pounds of weights, nearly 10 times his own body weight. When in a non-polluted environment, which could be either air or electro, he sleeps 1 to 7 hours a week. Although Wiley is now 70 years old, or young, depending on how you look at it, he is still able to lift 600 to 900 pounds of weight without ever working out. And for the last few years, Wiley teaches only empowered ascension to a very few pre-qualified applicants. He's our guest this hour. We'll take phone calls with him as well here on Coast to Coast. Wiley, how are you?
Very good, George. And you?
Fine, fine.
Right. Well, it's very, very great being here. It's like something I've been looking forward to for many years because I've been listening to you for seemingly forever.
Well, and for as long as you've been eating, you've been listening to me.
Probably. Exactly. You know, George, I would like, if you don't, I'd like to explain what my process is and
sure.
the purpose of my mission as a breatharian at this time, because
right.
most people are not really aware of the actual truth of how what the process is about. The truth is that most people at this time, there are millions of people on the planet who are natural breatharians, but do not know that they're breatharians, so they eat and act like everybody else. But breatharians actually come from a fifth-dimensional world. And so in the fifth-dimensional world, you do not have to eat. You can make a choice. But the ones that are here on this earth are basically here to assist the ascension process in making people aware of the new world that exists at this moment. As I speak to you at this moment, there's a big, beautiful, incredible new world, and that world is populated by about 700,000 to 800,000 people at this time, and none of them are permanent residents, but the rest of the world does not know that this world exists. So our purpose is to come here and to survive long enough to be able to reach the point that we're at right now, which the grids that support the earth have been completed. As a matter of fact, a day before I got the notice from your
producers.
And so my main objective, if possible, is to get this information into the world so that people will start to focus in the direction of moving into the future world that they have been told about forever, but have not been able to realize that it actually does exist at this moment.
How did you, Wiley, and the other breatharians, mm-hmm. how did you get through the dimensions? How did that happen?
Well, we're actually, what happens is we're born, and we, in other words, I came in, I'll speak about my experiences. I came in as what they call a walk-in. I began my adventure on this earth at about 4 years old when I was on the planet when I first arrived. Eating to me was the strangest thing. I remember, like it was yesterday, that I saw people eating, and I also heard that they had to go to the bathroom. And it was the strangest thing for me, so I spent many years trying to figure out why it is that people eat. And it was so strange to me to see people put stuff in their mouth and then let it out. I could not figure that out. It doesn't make sense. Why eat it if all you're going to do is get rid of it?
Now, when you say you came through, you were 4 years old, you mean you literally came from that fifth dimension into our dimension?
Directly, I did.
As a four-year-old. No, where were your parents from the fifth dimension?
Well, they are in the fifth dimension.
They're still there.
They're still there, exactly.
So you came into the fourth dimension. Who took care of you?
I came in the third dimension. Well, the family that took care of me in the third dimension, which is your typical third-dimensional family, took care of me as one of the children in the family. But I never did feel a part of the family as you, you Earth people, as you normally do in this world, because the world I came from, everybody's family. So I always felt like everybody was my family, which was a very strange thing to my family, because they thought my feeling toward them, or the love that I had, or the respect that I gave toward them, should be separate from the respect and the love I had for everybody else. And that was something I had to learn to adjust to. So I spent a lot of time, most of my young life, trying to adjust to the environment here. Eating, of course, was totally insane to me. But because my parents did not understand that was possible, and because the attention that it attracted that they actually, I found it was better to eat because they literally forced me to eat. So when I did start eating, I started to eat what I thought would be the best thing to eat, and that is fruits and vegetables. And that's okay. That worked out pretty good. So I've been basically a fruit and vegetable person most of my life. But as the grids have been completed, and the Earth now is far different from the Earth when I came to the planet, and also, as a matter of fact, the Earth is now at this point fully into the fifth dimension. But the Earth that will survive, or the Earth that will continue for our evolutionary process, is a fifth-dimensional world. This third-dimensional world was not designed to exist forever. It was only designed for us to experience the 3D world, which is a world that is necessary for people from my world to come to this world to learn the process of creating.
You know, Wiley, you've almost got me convinced here. I've got to tell you. And let me ask you just a few more questions about your life as a baby, as a child.
Okay.
And then we'll get into how you're able to function without eating.
Okay.
And I assume not drinking either?
No, you don't drink either.
Man, are you going to get phone calls from our listeners in just a few minutes?
I'm
okay.
Already getting them, and I haven't.
All right. How did the Earth parents who found you as a four-year-old,
right,
how did they find you? I mean, where were you, wandering on the street?
See,
or
how
what?
The process works when it comes to what we call walk-ins is they had a child, right?
All right.
And the child, as a matter of fact, my family that I was in had 13 children. I think three of them died. But when I came in through that particular person. See, another thing that happens in the world I come from. When children are born in a lot of the different planets in that particular strata of the world, the children are actually basically grown like plants. In other words, they remain inside, or they remain almost in an incubating stage until they're at the age of 12. And at the age of 12, then they suddenly become a part of the society. So you see, the body actually is there, and the person is there, but it's an unusual, it would be very hard to explain it, understand it in this world. So you see, what happened when I came here, the body that I took had already developed to the age of four, because with the amount of energy I came in with, it would not have been able to.
Okay, now, so are you saying, though, that four-year-old, that Earth four-year-old baby,
right,
child, was going to die or was in a process of dying?
Right. Well, it had made an agreement before we came to relinquish its body so that I could carry on the process and it would move back to its own world. Do you see what I mean?
All right,
in other words, his process was to come and take the body to the stage of four, because if I had come in at the stage of four, the level or the amount of consciousness that I could have brought in with me would have been far less than I could have brought in. You see what I mean?
All right. So as you grew, you were eating fruits and vegetables. When, at what point in your life, Wiley, did you stop eating and drinking altogether?
Well, I would say about 27, because I at that age, I was able to do some experiments. Matter of fact, I was in California at the time, and I just felt like it was time to stop eating, because when I did, eating to me has always been the opposite to what it is for most people. Eating for me always decreased my energy, you see what I mean? And so for me, eating was really a task. So when I did reach the point where I did have the prerogative to do that, I did do that. And then after not eating for a while, I noticed that it had such a negative effect on everybody around me, which I did not understand. Why would my not eating affect other people? So when I would go out, matter of fact, if I took a girl out and I didn't eat, she wouldn't eat.
I mean, she'd feel uncomfortable.
Exactly. So I had to develop a whole system of either eating or pretending I'm eating.
Well, I got to tell you, Wiley, there's nothing worse than going on a date and you know, she says, so what are you going to eat? And you go, nothing.
Exactly.
I mean, that just takes away the fun of the evening.
It does. And these are the things I've had to learn. And this is why a lot of people misconstrue what it is that I'm about, because they hear one thing and they see me in another situation, but they don't understand that when you're in this world, the objective here is to be in harmony with your environment. When you stop eating, the energy becomes so high and so intense that it absolutely disrupts and causes stress in people's bodies that normally eat.
Okay, how much do you weigh now?
Well, at this point, I weigh about 155. I am 6 feet one, so I'm still relatively thin.
I guess your body fat must be non-existent.
Yes, that is true.
Okay, so you don't eat anything.
Well, let me...
Vitamins, nothing.
Right. The body does not use... Let me point out another thing. I do take stuff into my body at this point. Let me explain why. My bloodstream is a liquid form called liquid light. If you were to check my blood, there's a difference in my body and the typical body on the earth. The true breatharian body has a goal element as a focal point in the blood cell. See, in my blood cell, instead of having iron, I actually have gold.
You do?
Do you see what I mean?
All
yes,
right.
I do have gold.
Have you been tested?
No, I haven't. I don't know if the instruments on this planet would detect it, but then I don't know where to. I haven't been able to find exactly where to do it yet. So I intend to do that as soon as possible, if it helps anything. But that is one of the ways that you can know, and I will be looking into doing that if I can find.
All right, but I mean,
what could be done?
Are you eating or drinking anything right now at this point?
Well, yes, I do eat or drink something at this point, but let me explain why that's necessary.
And how much?
This is a technical thing that people do not understand. What is necessary right now at this time, the ascension process that I teach, the empowered ascension,
mm-hmm.
it has to do with connecting the physical body, your physical body, to and anchoring it into the frequencies that will pull you into and raise them to the frequencies of the fifth dimension. Do you follow what I'm saying?
I'm with you.
Okay.
I think.
Now, in order to do that, you have to be able to have an ingredient or a substance that contains the energy, the multidimensional energy of the three different Earths that are in existence at this point in order to complete the process of ascension. This empowered ascension process means that it connects a person to this field, which actually is able to be in the third, fourth, and fifth dimension at the same time. In other words, if you could see the energy of my body, you'll see that my body is able to change frequencies with the earth that I am on at the time. For example, I'm talking to you from the fifth dimension. Now, I happen to be in one of the most powerful fifth-dimensional cities, and it's Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, yeah, it sure is.
Now,
is our powerful radio station there, by the way.
I understand.
KFYI.
Right.
Huge.
So you see, it is the multidimensional capacity of the body to be able to, mine in particular, that's my task, to move from one world to the other. When I'm in the third dimensional world and I'm with third dimensional people,
like me,
yes, it is.
I think.
Well, I'm talking to your fifth dimensional body right now. Let me make that point because it's really interesting. We have 12 different bodies. I mean, 12 different light bodies, or 12 different light. Well, I'll just say light bodies right now.
Who you're saying? All of us?
Yes, all of us.
All right.
And as I talk to you, I will attract in my vibrations the body that matches the frequency that creates the most transferable energy or love or communication. So as I talk to you at this moment, I'm addressing your fifth dimensional body, and I can feel those frequencies. So what happens when you're talking to a person who has third dimensional energy or fourth, you will also see, and you may have noticed it in people, that their personalities change. And they call it schizophrenia.
Well, that's all right. But we're going to take a break in about 30 seconds, Wiley.
Okay.
Then we're going to come back and talk with you and take phone calls too. But
right.
How much do you eat and drink at this time? I guess it's pretty light, right?
Yes, it is pretty light. It's non-existent as far as a diet that is you would call it a normal eating diet. Do you see what I mean?
Well, I mean, let's say I would have, during the course of a day,
mm-hmm.
maybe a bowl of soup, maybe
right.
a salad at night, during the week, let's say.
Right.
Do you eat less than that?
Oh, yes. I can actually eat absolutely zero. When I'm in the zero, let me give you an example. When I'm in the fifth dimension.
Okay, you're going to give me that when we come back.
Okay, I will.
My gosh, he hardly eats and hardly drinks. How could he be alive? Well, that's because he's from another dimension. We're going to open up the phone lines for you as well. You can talk with Wiley Brooks, the Breatharian. And then next hour, the beginning of 3 hours of open lines, including the Fright Night hotline. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Well, those of you in the hundreds of cities who are fortunate enough to pick up Coast to Coast Live with Ian Punnett, don't forget it's on tomorrow, Saturday, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific time. And, of course, always available to you Streamlink members. Ian, what do you got on store tomorrow?
First-time caller, George. Love your show.
I love you, too.
I'm here north of the I-80 line, and we love you up here in Minnesota. It's a very cool thing. Actually, the first hour, I heard you had a little fun with St. John Hunt earlier in the week. How'd that go for you?
That was a follow-up to your great interview and story. It went fine. You know, I'm still not sure whether I'm going to take the E. Howard Hunt report as gospel, because, you know, the guy was a dangerous guy. He was a CIA agent. He knew how to do covert operations. He might be covering for the real assassins in the real plot.
Maybe. I was trying to think of something. I was trying to think of anybody else of significance, other than, you know, a crackpot to a local, you know, police department. Had anybody else ever confessed to the killing of JFK? And especially because he wasn't, he wasn't confessing. He was kind of bragging on the tape.
Yeah.
He's not conflicted over it. He's just simply laying it out. This is what we did. And I think in a way he's taking credit for it, much like he did in other magazine interviews, like he had for other things he did as a CIA agent. I think he was just kind of proud of it.
Regardless of whether what he's saying is the truth or not, I'm still convinced there was a group of people behind the assassination.
Well, yeah. And
no
he,
doubt.
I think that's the good question is he names four or five people in the group. Might it be up to six or seven? Either way, it does explain how that information was held so tightly. These guys were used to holding that information tightly. It wasn't a first.
Absolutely.
So in the first hour tomorrow night, I'm going to replay that tape. We're going to open up the phones. We'll air out some of what we didn't get to last week. And then, and this is so cool, and I know how much you love music too. It's really the definitive book on the mad genius of Phil Spector.
My God, great timing.
Yeah, Mark Grabowski, it's the book on Spector and his history of violence and of using people and of the way he treated women in particular. And we're going to kind of pick at this thing about, you know, the trial and what he's accused of. Mark has done all of the heavy lifting and the research, and I can't wait to find out more about it coming up tomorrow night.
Ian, strange trial, too, because it's continuing without his lead defense attorney around, who's on sick leave.
He's already been through three or four of them, too. He's burned up. He burned up Robert Shapiro and then Abramson and then Cutler. And so he's just been through all of these famous attorneys because he's Phil Spector, and he's really hard to get along with. He's hard to work with. And I wouldn't be surprised if he finishes the trial himself.
Okay, that's Coast to Coast Live, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Yep.
Pacific time with you, Ian Punnett. Thanks, Ian.
Thanks, George. Love your show.
Okay, and for those of you, call your program directors if you're not getting the show in your specific market, but it's always available on Streamlink. Okay, we're back with your phone calls and Wiley Brooks. Wiley, you were talking about why you don't eat, or why it's very minimal right before we hit the break.
Right, When I'm in the, I'll call it the fifth dimension mode, you don't take any form of liquids or anything into the body. The body actually gets its energy through the skin and through the grids. That's why the last several years you may have had people talk about building the grids.
Yeah.
So for the mass people, there are millions of people here who are from that world, but they have not been able to reach the stage where they don't eat because the grids were not complete. You see, the thing that replaces the food is actually the grids. So we were designed, our original design in the world that we come from is a symbiotic relationship with the earth, the world that we're in. And so the energy, which is the energy of the world, is also the energy that sustains the body. Don't need a system of eating in that world. When you come to this world, because the grids have been destroyed, then you had a system for taking food and then converting it into the frequencies that are necessary to to keep the body operating, because ultimately it is converted to light. Do you see what I mean?
Man, you'd be a cheap pal to take out to dinner, I'll tell you that.
Yes, I would be absolutely cheap.
Let's take some calls.
Okay.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, this is Dirk from Layton, Utah.
Hey, Dirk, go ahead, sir.
First-time caller. I'm curious, how did you hear about breatharian?
Well, I actually came here as a breatharian, so it wasn't something I heard about. It was something that I came here as. The word breatharian that I started to use, I think it may have been used before, but for me, knowing how things are here on the earth, you need to have some kind of direct, clear picture of what you represent. So I decided, since vegetarians primarily eat vegetables and fruitarians eat fruit, I decided to combine the words breath and tarian or arian. So breatharians are people who eat air.
Amazing.
So that's how it was brought about. And from that, I did the demonstration on That's Incredible years ago to show that even though I hadn't eaten for a couple of weeks, to demonstrate that it wasn't the energy that comes from food that sustains my body. And That's Incredible at that time, which was a number one show in the world. I lifted 1,100 pounds of weight to demonstrate that the energy does not come from the food that I take into my body.
And did they verify, Wiley, that you did not eat during that period?
Well, not really, but because I'm so thin, at 100, I think at that time I weighed 25 or 26, and I was 6 feet, so it's pretty obvious that I didn't eat a lot.
You're a stick man or something.
Right, exactly.
First-time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, this is Gail in Colorado.
Hi, Gail.
I wanted to ask your breatharian there, is his physical body exactly like a human's, you know, intestines, heart, kidney, liver?
Well, actually, at this point, they're probably quite different. When I came here, I used the mechanism of the body that I came in. But during the time that I've been here, I've developed a fourth and fifth dimensional overlay. These bodies are made of basically of light. So there's a process that integrates these bodies when I move into different energy fields. That's why I'm able to move from the fifth to the third and do the process that I do.
You look like us, though, Wiley, right? If I saw you on the streets.
Yeah. I look like a normal person. But one of the things that's really important in the body, in my original Earth body, as I lived a pretty much like the Earth life, so when I reached a stage where I was had to have fillings put in my mouth and things that normal people have, before I could reach to go back to the point of being the breatharian stage again, I had to get rid of everything that was alien in the body. So that's why the people that are moving toward the ascension process are having many problems, because their bodies cannot move up in vibrations if there are any permanent structures in the body that do interfere with that process.
Is it safe to say, I want to throw out a disclaimer here, Wiley, that folks should not do this without some kind of assistance?
Well, absolutely, they should not. This not eating is not what is the main information that we want to pass. Is the not eating process is something that happens when you are prepared and when you have reached that point.
That's just an offshoot of what you do.
Exactly. You see, you don't reach this point. And the interesting thing about it, George, is you don't reach the point of not eating by not eating. This is the thing that makes it so difficult for people. And that's why, of the millions of breatharians that are on the planet, they keep it very secret. And when they're in public, they do eat. And they eat because if they don't, people will try to not eat, and it will cause them...
It is a social mess.
Of course. Now, you take that weightlifting thing. I used to do it on Venice Beach there at Muscle Beach in California.
Right up the road from us.
And I had to stop doing it, because when people would see this little skinny guy in there lifting 900 pounds of weight, they would get in and try it. And, I mean, it's amazing. So that's why people don't understand that when you're in a position of being different, it becomes a full-time job trying to just fit in to keep other people from being uncomfortable.
I got to tell you, Wiley, I've got a caller who calls regularly. His name's Richard from Las Vegas, and you sound just like him.
Is that right?
Though I know you're not him.
Right.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello? Hello? Well, with one breath, she's gone.
Well, maybe she was in there.
But we go to the east of the Rockies line. Right. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi, George.
Hi.
This is Ryan calling from Chicago.
Yeah, Ryan, thanks.
Thanks for the program, Mr. Brooks.
Oh,
I have two questions for you.
Yes.
There's a Buddha boy in India.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever heard of him. He apparently rarely eats and drinks. All he does is meditate, and he appears and disappears.
Right.
Do you think he's a breatharian?
He absolutely is a breatharian. See, the interesting thing here I'd like to clear up, if I can, most people on the planet are actually breatharians. They just don't know they're breatharians, so they continue to eat, and they do not strive in that direction to learn how to not eat.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to evolve or to ascend, it would be necessary to reach the point where you're not attached to the food, because the food is a third-dimensional product, and the fifth dimension is a dimension of light. So you see, it would be impossible to make the transition if you do not start in the direction of eliminating the desire or the necessity to eat food. Does that make sense?
Okay. I have one more question.
Yes.
As someone from the fifth dimension, I'm assuming, now correct me if I'm wrong, someone from the fifth dimension, I'm assuming that they're more spiritually advanced.
Absolutely. That is true. It doesn't mean they're better. Not better, because from the fifth dimensional world, all people are equal in the eyes of God. All.
Okay. And well, why,
no,
my question is, sir, is why would someone from the fifth dimension require a non-refundable $200,000 fee for his workshop, such as you do on your workshop?
Okay. Well, let me tell you one of the main reasons for that is, one, the Empowered Ascension workshop is not something for everybody. The people that I will initiate, the first ones, must have vast experience in dealing with many people. The time that we have left to do this process before 2012, and that is a deadline for what I do, because from my point of view, the third dimensional Earth will not be available for further evolving. Matter of fact, nobody will be on this planet from what I understand and from what my schedule is set for. So you see, it is necessary for me only to initiate a few people, and in that process, it requires money. You have to be able to be in different places, and there are a lot of things that are necessary. It costs me hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, to be able to learn what I know in order to be able to teach what I do to other people. It's the way it is. It's not for everybody. Do you see what I mean? To do it at this level, that's why I have the price.
Does
that make sense? It doesn't mean that everybody won't eventually get the information, but if I don't get a few people who have the capacity to teach and overlight hundreds of thousands of other people, which they will be able to do by their sheer power and energy, then the process of reaching the deadline would not be able to be very advantageous. Many people would not be able to be in the energy of evolving unless we do have people who have the capacity to do that.
That probably explains why you only need a very few pre-qualified people. Has anybody signed up for this yet?
Yes, I have. I do have. Matter of fact, it's interesting that I haven't, even before I came on tonight, I had several people call and want to set up some time.
Bill Gates, he's in there, isn't he?
Well, I don't know, but it wouldn't be a bad idea, and not because I need the money. See, George, let me explain one other thing which people do not understand. The money mechanism that we use on this planet was designed on purpose for the reason of being a system of communication of energy, and that energy specifically is called unconditional love. Have you not noticed, and haven't people noticed, that you can produce more unconditional exchange of unconditional love by the process of commerce than any other method on the planet? That's what money is designed for. When you buy something from a person, you have given yourself the permission to say, I love you, I want to help you, and I'm giving you my money, and this is my way of showing you how much I care about you. And nobody looks at that as something really strange. Do you see what I mean?
Well, and you also can be accused of trying to get a lot of money from many people, because I got to tell you, Wiley, there aren't a lot of people who will write a check for $200,000.
That is true. And there are not a lot of people, George, that will be able to handle the capacity of being the first citizens on this new world. You know, there was just the other day, someone paid $25 million to go on a flight, right?
Yep.
You heard about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They do it all the time.
Do you see what I'm saying? It's only common sense. You need someone with experience and capacity and power. Anyone that has the power to draw within their energy pattern the money of $25 million, which represents an energy pattern. If people would look at the energy that is represented by the numbers, they would see that person's capacity to handle the positive energy that's necessary to keep the project that he is involved in working on a positive direction. I'll give you another example. When they come out with the first airplane or whatever it is, isn't it always the people with the most money who takes the first flight and the ones who take the first whatever it is?
Yep.
It is that way because the people with the most money, and I know a lot of people don't want to hear this, but the people with the most money also have the most positive energy flowing through their bodies. It is the way we designed it as creators.
All right.
It is not something that happens by accident. There is a reason why we have, and I say we because there are a lot of us here listening to me, what I'm saying right now, who are responsible for creating this world, who do not know and are not aware of it, but we did create this world.
Well, what now? Is this 200,000 or 400?
Well, it's 200,000 at this time, and right. July goes up to 4.
If you find someone who writes that check, I'd like to talk to them.
Right. The ones who write that check will talk to you, but they won't. It'll be for a little while because there's a lot we have to do. See, George, there are a lot of things that must happen on this earth that the world does not know about. This is our responsibility. We come here with the responsibility to save the lives of millions of people that are not even aware that people like us exist for this purpose. So we must, this is what we do. It's not a matter of right or wrong or left or right. It is what we do. We're here to do that, and that's what we do.
All right, time for maybe one more quick one, Wiley, and then we've got to wrap it up.
Okay.
Wildcard line, you got about a minute. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Nan in Virginia.
Hi, Nan.
How do you know if you are a breatharian? I've had a lot of strange experiences. And if you are, how do you get training if you don't have $200,000?
Well,
good point.
Okay, George, here's what I've done. One, I can tell you are a breatharian without a doubt.
Well, I am?
Yeah, you and her, of course. Absolutely. So, George, here's what I've agreed to do. Before anyone is initiated, there are certain basic steps they have to go through and things they must do in order to be accepted. Doesn't matter how much money you have. So what I've done is I have a small sample diet of energy or substance. There are three-dimensional substances that one can use to help connect them to these frequencies so they'll be able to feel the energy, so they'll be able to discern what dimension a substance comes from. For example, if a person drinks a Diet Coke, I know they think that's the worst thing in the world, but to tell you the truth, Diet Coke is a fifth-dimensional product, and that Diet Coke in itself, it turns into liquid light. So you see, it's not an accident that McDonald's and Diet Coke is everywhere in the world. And so there is a special diet that I decide to do on this show tonight, because I knew that there would be a lot of people that would be interested, and I know everybody does not have $200,000. So for the first time, I am going to give a sample of the initiation diet and the codes that are used to start the process, which will allow you to be able to connect with the fifth-dimensional energies, and then you will be able to see and feel for yourself if what I am doing or what the direction of what I represent
is. All right. Well, your website, breatharian.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. But even if I had it, I wouldn't write a check for $200,000.